Until the Renaissance, English law was usually written in French or Latin, although now in English, the language of modern law today often seems just as incomprehensible. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg looks at the way the law uses the word prurient and what, if anything, the word means to the average person.
A couple of years ago, I had a call from a lawyer working with a local public defender's office. His client had been arrested when he was stopped on the street late at night with a length of chain attached to a padlock in his pocket. The arrest was pursuant to an old section of the penal code that makes it a felony to carry any of a long list of weapons, including a slungshot. That's an archaic term that one old dictionary defines as a weapon used chiefly by criminals, consisting of a weight attached to a flexible handle or strap. The attorney wanted my help in filing a motion arguing that the statute clashes with a basic principle of interpretation. The law ought to be written in words that give what lawyers call fair and reasonable notice of the conduct prohibited. That seemed fair enough to me. When you're telling people what they can and can't do, you ought to use language they can be expected to understand. Of course, you might say that the wording of the penal code hardly matters in a case like this. People don't ordinarily consult a statute book before they go out at night with a chain and lock in their pocket. But by that line of argument, we may as well go back to writing statutes in Latin. Actually, I know a lot of classicists who could use the work. Obscure legal language can sometimes have a much broader effect than in that slungshot case. Take the word prurient. In a famous 1973 decision, the Supreme Court held that the standard for judging obscenity is whether, to the average person applying contemporary community standards, the dominant theme of the material appeals to prurient interest. That formula has been widely used since then. But it's an odd way to put things, asking the average person to judge whether something appeals to prurient interest when the average person probably doesn't know the word prurient in the first place. I have an image of Larry Flint stopping passers-by to ask their opinion of the latest number of Hustler. What do you think? Not too prurient, is it? It's true that prurient is far from being an obsolete word like slungshot. But even people who know the word often seem to have no clear idea of its meaning. Prurient is originally from the Latin root for itch, and modern dictionaries define it in terms of an unusual or unhealthy interest in sex. So people have prurient minds when they have an unhealthy interest in sex, and things are prurient when they arouse that sort of interest. But you find a lot of people using prurient just as a vague synonym for lewd or erotic. At the Two Live Crew obscenity trial in St. Petersburg a couple of years ago, the prosecutor charged that the rap group had incited the crowd to prurient behavior. And some years ago, Massachusetts Governor Edward King claimed that a new pornography law would protect children from perverted persons who would coerce them into committing prurient acts. Those people are plainly unclear on the concept. Acts and behavior can't be prurient in and of themselves, not if you use the word correctly. But then it's unlikely that any of these people ever looked the word up. They just guessed at its meaning on the basis of having seen it in one context, that Supreme Court definition of obscenity. In fact, that single clause of the court's definition accounts for more than half the occurrences of the word in the press. If not for that decision, prurient would probably be as rare a word as bowerbird treasures like lucubrate and nugatory. The problem with building law around obscure words like prurient isn't just that you fail to give fair and reasonable notice. The fact is that it's hard for anybody to say what a word like prurient means today, not excluding lexicographers. Lawyers tend to think that learned words like prurient are somehow more precise than everyday items like lustful or dirty. Actually, it's the opposite. That fuzziness about the meaning of prurient is typical of words that live in the margins of the language. People don't encounter them often enough to get a clear idea of what they mean. The more closely an expression is associated with a unique situation, like the court's obscenity definition, the harder it is to pry out its general meaning. Take the words caisson, madding, and petard. We've all heard each of them in a single famous setting, but how many people can tell you with confidence what each of them means? I know it when I see it. That's how Justice Potter Stewart responded when he was asked to define obscenity. And in fact, that's pretty much what the court wound up saying when it slipped that obscure word prurient into its decision. It left prosecutors free to define obscenity however they liked. In the end, the court's definition would have been more precise and more consistent with the standards of real communities if it had used the same words that ordinary people do when they're talking about these things. the justices should have asked whether the average person applying community standards would say that a work appealed to people with dirty minds. But then they wouldn't have sounded like judges.
Jeff Nunberg is a researcher at Stanford Center for the Study of Language and Information, and he's the author of The Way We Talk Now.